Welcome to the Heaven's Devils podcast, a Forest Green Rovers podcast by two Americans who don't know what they're talking about. My name is Nathan. This is Sean.
Heaven's Devils podcast. 19 games undefeated. No, we're not Jarshan. We're just marching on.
Hey, shout out to Josh March, who got the penalty yesterday, even though he didn't get caught. It should have been a penalty. Let's go. Let's marching go.
And
on.
And shout out to old school pronunciation of things like Jarshan you. And taking a trip down to Washington. Shout out to...
Yeah, I don't think British people understand that. But,
no,
yes,
no.
Both my grandparents say Washington, dishwasher. yeah.
Yeah. So, Jarsh Marsh is who he is from now.
Jarsh Marsh.
In the U.S.
I love it. Yeah. All right, Shimmy. Here we go.
I got to close the window before I record because New York don't know how to be quiet.
Thank you all for making us part of your day. You could do anything with your time, and you chose to waste it with us. We are so grateful for that. I am joined by my friend, my neighbor, my colleague, my couple's yoga partner, your favorite rapper, a gentleman in the streets, Mookie Blaylock in the sheets, the Indian Allen Iverson, young Gawaba Delhi, the champagne poppy of Chennai. He's a hero of Harvey Bunker hoax. He's like Maddie Stevens, the way he taps in jokes. The Mookadon one, the Warren of Wordle, the Shamir Mullins of podcasting, Sham of the Dead, Sham Hannity, Sham Paul, he's got the right temperature. For shout to you from the storm, Shimmy, Kick, Shambo, Sham Prasad, welcome, Sham, to our pod. How are you feeling?
Thanks, man. Good. I mean, I'm going to have to start having people at work address me by these names as well. You're like the only one, but I got to start getting these out into the real world.
Let's go, yeah, young Gawaba Delhi.
And I think we also desperately need another guest, so people don't have to be subjected to that.
That.
Although I bow to your monikering abilities, man.
I do think we'll have I'm hoping we'll have a player back on in a couple weeks. Next week we won't have a pod because I'm going to be in Rome. Let's go.
Roma.
So I'm going to be in Roma. Arrivederci, Roma. So I'm going to be in Rome.
They say andiamo, right? Andiamo.
Andiamo. Hey, andiamo. So I'm going to be there on... that next week, so no pod next week, but we will be back the following week, hopefully with a player. Anyway, Shimmy, let's get into it. We got a quick pod today. I know we always say that, and every time we say that, it lasts more than an hour. But not today, Shimmy, because you know what today is, Shimmy.
What is today, Nathan?
Super Bowl Sunday.
Sunday.
Let's go. My favorite day of the year, Shimmy. I said that yesterday, and my wife called me an idiot. And she's right on both accounts. I am an idiot.
Yeah.
And saying the Super Bowl is my favorite day is probably a hyperbole because there's a lot of good days in the year. But it is genuinely one of my favorite days, Shimmy. I love the Super Bowl. I have all my vegan junk food ready to go. All my bets placed. All
right. Cincinnati, what are you most looking forward to eating? What are you going to eat?
Buffalo vegan wings, fries, chips, guac, you name it.
Just oof, love it.
All
love
this
it.
Junk. Yeah, I love it. I love the Super Bowl. Got all my bets placed. My favorite bet, Shimmy, is the coin toss. I bet on the coin toss, Shimmy. What do you think I bet? Heads or tails?
Heads or tails for which team? Or do you just whatever
you just
will
bet,
come up? Whatever will come up, what actual will be
flipped? Yeah, the wager is it going to land on heads or tails?
Well, I know you're a big Taylor Allen head. You strive to be like him sartorially. So I'm gonna say you bet on tails from the heart.
You are 1,000,000% right. I didn't even think of that. But yes, because of Taylor Allen, I'm switching my story. Taylor Allen, shout out to Taylor Allen. I bet on tails. Tails never fails. It rhymes. It's got to work. Boom, shout out to Taylor Allen. So I bet on tails. I'm going to get rich, Shimmy. So I'm so excited for the Super Bowl. But we got to be quick because we got the Super Bowl. I got to get into my zone, my Super Bowl zone. Plus, Shimmy, my wife gave me a bunch of chores on Super Bowl Sunday. Can you believe that, Shimmy? On Super Bowl Sunday of all days.
You gotta earn it. You gotta earn that Super Bowl berth.
Right.
That includes the viewers. Viewers, you can't just watch the Super Bowl. You gotta work for it.
Can you believe that? Chores! She's right here. Chores on Super Bowl Sunday. Of all days, on Super Bowl Sunday.
The one thing I would say to your defense, Nathan, is that it's probably going to get much messier once the game happens. So,
that's true.
So maybe best save for after, or maybe you know your wife is just trying to limit the overall damage to the apartment, especially if any of your bets come through, or if the Ohio team wins today.
You're going to be
flipping tables over. You're going to be destroying furniture. So I think your wife is just trying to do disaster mitigation here, which I respect.
She's smart.
Kudos
to her. And to be fair, yesterday while you and I and a few others were out acting like idiots, harassing people on the street about Kane Wilson, she was here doing a ton of work at the apartment. So I owe her, to be fair. But come on Super Bowl Sunday. Anyway.
On a Sunday.
Yes. I can't believe it. But I'll do it. I owe her. Anyway, so let's get to the pod. Let's get to Four Screen Rovers. On today's pod, we will ask the biggest question. The question the world is asking, not just America. Is Kane Wilson the best wing back in England? We will talk about our match day exploits yesterday. Maybe even talk a little football about yesterday's football match. Maybe. And finally, Shimmy, we will close out with one pod beyond a Walsall podcast to get us hyped for Saturday's match against Walsall. Hey, Tony, how them boys down there in the bayou, how they say Walsall?
Oh, we them down the bayou love us some Walsall.
Walsall? You don't say. Walsall. We got Walsall, baby. The best name in League 2, I think. Is there a better name in League 2? Walsall.
Not if you're asking me. No. Not if you're asking Tony.
There are actually probably like 10 funnier names in League 2, but none are coming to mind right now. So, Walsall.
England, you know, maybe this is an American bias, but England is a land of very funny names.
That's true. That's 100% true. Yeah. And it's just fun to hear Tony say, wow, so. Anyway, let's talk about yesterday, Shimmy, or Saturday, depending on when you're listening to this. But the Four Screen Rovers match took on Sutton. We will talk about that in a second. But first, let's talk about our experience, Shimmy. We started the match day at the new official bar of the Four Screen Rovers, New York City, a brand new little upscale sports pub called The Fox. We met the owners. They were so nice.
And I think
they're going to host us every Saturday from now on. So it's awesome. Awesome. Nice. Shimmy. Describe what happened. You went in there Friday night to ask for us to watch the game. Describe what happened when you went in there Friday night.
This is great. So, you know, we were trying to find a spot. It's been so long since our good group of people, FGR NYC, has had a chance to get together. We wanted to do it. This is a celebratory season. We need to be celebrating together. So we're trying to find a spot. So I went to many bars. Couldn't happen. As Nathan may or may not have mentioned, today's Super Bowl Sunday. So many
Tours
bartenders.
On Super Bowl Sunday. All the days.
Anyway, all the days. Yeah. No. So it's like you know, you're doing the chore, but bartenders are also making their hay this weekend. So it's like a lot of people are busy. So we couldn't find a place to host us for Sutton United. I know, you know, in lieu of being at Gander Green Lane, we wanted to be together. But thankfully, the guys at the Fox. I went in there. I was like, listen, we follow this little old team. We know Kane Wilson is the best left back in all of England. Everybody in the world knows that. Just talk to anybody on the street.
Right,
they'll tell you.
But he can play left back, too. He can play any back.
He can play any back, yeah.
Far back,
yeah.
Nickel back, you name it. Kane Wilson can do it.
He can back that thing up. That's all we want to say.
There we go. He does say, he does claim he has a big big butt. I forget when he told us that in the pod. I don't remember why. But anyway, shout out to Kane's big butt. All right, keep going.
No, and so it's like, you know, everybody knows Big Daddy Kane Wilson, but maybe not everybody knows Four Screen Rovers on the first tier of their name. And so I talked to this guy, and I was like, we follow this team, but we have to buy the stream. We have to plug it into a computer, our computers into a TV, in order to be able to watch the game anywhere, right?
I hope nobody from the EFL is listening, because you're not supposed to do that.
No, we don't do that. No one's ever done that before. Hypothetically, we would have to do that, allegedly. Yeah. But it's like, there's no way for us to actually see this game. But this guy, he shuts me down immediately, and he says, I have everything. No other context, nothing else. He just said, stops me, said, I have everything. And then proceeds to show me on his TV, and this is the EFL we'll be happy to hear, the EFL League 2 package is right there. So yesterday was insane. We actually went to a bar, and the TV had on our boys. It was crazy.
It was unbelievable. I had no idea there was like such a thing as a League 2 package, but he can watch every single League 2 match. And
all the commentary, right?
Three versions of the commentary. You get the home commentary. You have another channel for the away commentary. Another channel for like the EFL I follow commentary. So naturally, we had to put it on our boys Billy Hunt and Ash Loveridge. So we got it right. We put it on the away commentary. But unbelievable. And actually, on that note, Shimmy. So we get there, as you say, it's surreal because there's Premier League games, you know, Crystal Palace and Brentford. We got Everton and Leeds. And then little old Sutton and Forest Green right next on the TV right next to them. The marquee matchup, exactly. And so, and you got Billy Hunt's voice, Ash Leverage's voice reverberating around the bar. So I thought it'd be funny to take quick video and show like a 5-second clip of this funny, you know, juxtaposition of Premier League games on TVs right next to Forest Green Rovers. And Shimmy, We got DMCA'd for the clip. We got kicked off of Twitter briefly for that. We are the bad boys of Twitter now, Shimmy. How do you feel?
We are. I mean, I say eat your heart out, Kip Kowalski and Tony Gra. Not the only ones running from the law here.
Let's go.
We're right there with you.
Let's go. Shout out to Sean Baker.
What can we say?
You know, kicked off Twitter.
Yeah,
you're
Nathan.
Now with you.
Yeah, exactly.
There are so many funny jokes about that after that tweet of people saying like you've been hanging out with Sean too long.
Yeah, probably. But you know what they call the American soccer fans, right? Fans of the U.S. men's national team?
What?
Nathan? Our fan section is called the American Outlaws. So we had to live up to it.
Hey, there we go. We are now American Outlaws. Let's go.
Yeah, that's our own version of being hooligans is getting DMCA'd for a stupid podcast.
Yeah, for 2 seconds of a clip of it. Anyway, it's so stupid, but whatever. Mm-hmm. We move on. And then while watching the game at the bar, there's like 5 to 7 guys who came in from Switzerland, Norway.
Oh, you're going to love Sweden, the punchline to this joke, right? 5 to 7 guys from Switzerland, Norway, and Sweden right. walk into a bar.
But anyway, this is apparently their go-to Premier League bar. And so we recruited them to the Green Army. They're like, what are you guys watch? What is this game that you guys are watching on this tiny ground? It's missing half of an away section because they're doing construction. And we told them all about Forest Green Rovers, and they loved it. So they are in now. We have adopted them as Forest Green Rovers fans. So FGR NYC is growing. I think they'll be at every game now because I think they go to the Fox for Premier League games. We go to the Fox for our, you know, Forest Green Rovers. We get together. It was just so fun, like, hanging out with them, talking to them. We're in their local soccer watch WhatsApp group now. Marcus with a K from Switzerland, a Bitcoin miner. Just like interesting dudes. So he owns a Bitcoin mine in upstate New York, and somehow he convinced me that Bitcoin mines are actually good for the energy grid and will help create more sustainable green energy in this country. And I don't remember the reasoning why, but I just remember that Nathan, 3 pints in, was thoroughly convinced that this guy's Bitcoin mines were the solution to America's energy crisis. So shout out to Marcus. He is the crypto Dale Vince. And shout out to that whole crew who we've now adopted the Green Army. Can't wait to have a few more pints and watch more Forest Green Rovers with you guys.
Definitely.
And then, go ahead, Jimmy.
I said definitely.
Definitely. And then, Shimmy, because Big Daddy Kane Wilson scored, we had to go to Wagamama's to honor the Wagamama wonder himself. We had to throw back the Panda Cup sake bombs, Jimmy. They were flowing. The Panda Cup sake was flowing.
It was,
Shout out to our waitress, Denise, a.k.a. D-Nice, who was the coolest at dealing with 3 idiots who just walked into her bar after too many pints. We very thoroughly explained to her who Kane Wilson was and why we were ruining her day by coming into Wagamama's. And D-Nice could not have been D-Nicer because she was so nice with us. But also, she could not have cared less about hearing about Kane Wilson. It was so funny. I actually have audio of it, so I'm going to put it in here because it was getting so bad. I was hearing you and Ben. You were both trying to explain to her who Kane Wilson was. And just hearing her not care at all, it was hilarious. So I had to start recording.
Yeah.
So
even through the mask. Yeah, she was a consummate professional as a server. Had her mask on. Was delightful. But yeah, we could tell even through the mask, just from the eyes alone, that she gave zero F's about anything
we said. Could not care less. I'm going to drop the clip right now. Here we go. Here's us trying to explain to who Kane Wilson is to our waitress, Denise, a.k.a. D-Nice.
Sports player that we... Well, I mean,
he plays soccer in England.
Oh, nice. England, that's awesome.
But he's probably the Wagamama's number one fan.
Yeah, he loves it.
That's really awesome.
So, you do not sound impressed at all.
Oh, you guys are awesome either way.
You are awesome. But we won 3 Wilsons.
So the reason
we don't know.
We're here is because,
So Shimmy, it's like that meme of the guy and the girl. You know, have you seen that one?
Where, like, trying to explain
something.
In the
bar, the club, whatever, and the guy's like, he's like passionately talking in her ear, and she like has no interest. That was us. Verbal meme right there. So make some noise for D-Nice. Shout out to D-Nice. She was so nice. And then, of course, some idiot at the table beside us at Wagamama's overheard us and started arguing that Trent Alexander-Arnold is better than Kane Wilson.
What? Ridiculous slander.
Yeah. No. So after one too many Panda Cup sake bombs, we saw all these people walking around outside, and we had to set the record straight, and thus, the Who is the Best Wingback in England video was born. So shout out to New York for knowing the vibes, for knowing what's up, for knowing Kane Wilson is the best wingback in England, and shout out to New York for being so cool with us 3 idiots as we approached you with a cell phone camera. We just started harassing strangers on the street, and everyone was so nice to us, Shimmy. Yeah. It was awesome.
I only got maced once, I think. So that's pretty good. Pretty good.
People say New Yorkers are so rude, but it's not true. No.
Everyone, great sports about it. And man, it just made us feel good. Yeah. It made us feel good about the city we live in and just people in general. And it made us feel good to get the word about Forest Green out there. Although Kane Wilson doesn't need any help,
right.
as we saw.
That's true. Everyone already knew Kane Wilson. They may not know Forest Green, but they Googled it. We had a lot of people like Googling it after we told them about it. So it was awesome. So big shout out to Kane Wilson. Shout out to this amazing city, New York City, and the amazing people in it. And shout out to Kane Wilson for being the best wingback in England and for turning down countless Champions League club offers in January to stay with us, to stay with Forest Green. Anyway, on to the football, Shimmy. Let's go to the football. You ready for football?
Let's go.
You ready for some football? Monday night. Today.
But it's Sunday. It's not Monday. It's Sunday.
It's Sunday. That's right. Come on and get ready. I mean, really ready. Are you ready for the football? A Monday night. All right, a controversial draw in South London as the best wingback duo in Europe. Tricky Nicky of House Cadden and Big Daddy Kane Wagamama Wonder Wilson rescued a point as Forest Green went 19 league two games unbeaten. After a 1-1 draw at Sutton, and even better, Shimmy, we stretched our massive lead to 11 points after Tranmere's shock defeat at struggling Walsall, who we play next. So shout out to Walsall. We appreciate you. Our next opponent, Walsall. So anyway, our friends Laurie and Ollie at our brother pod, the amazing pod on top of the
So great and so informative. So if you truly want to learn about Forest Green Rovers, you truly want to learn about Forest Green Rovers, New Yorkers out on the street, subscribe.
Listen to Pot on
like
Top
and
of
subscribe
the Hill.
To Not Pot us. On Top of the Hill, exactly.
So our guys Laurie and Ollie tweeted a picture from the platform in the London Underground that said "Mind the Gap" and tweeted, "This is a message to the rest of League 2." It was so good. So well done. Shout out to them. So let's quickly talk about the game. Veteran Kenny Powers Davis did his best. I had to throw in Kenny Powers there because I've been watching Vice Principals on your recommendation. Child
Great show.
Bride. Anyway,
show.
Veteran. It is. Veteran Kenny Powers Davis did his best Nicky Cadden impersonation and put the underdog darling promotion chasing host ahead with a fantastic first half free kick. His first Football League goal, by the way. A bad foul by Ibu right outside the box that led to the free kick, and Kenny Powers did, I guess his name's Kenny David. Kenny Powers Davis. David. I don't know. Whatever his name is. He placed it perfectly. It was a beautiful, beautiful shot. At the bar, Ben, the lad from Slad, said, "This is scary. This is Nicky Cadden free kick land," and he was so right. Kenny Davis has obviously seen the tape. He studied Nicky Cadden free kicks because he placed it perfectly, Shimmy. Thoughts on Ibu's foul and thoughts on the goal real quick, Shimmy?
Yeah, unfortunately, Ibu is prone to doing that every now and again, and it was, you know, really perfect placement for that free kick.
Shimmy, pull up your mic. Where's your mic? Why'd your mic come off?
Sorry about that. The mic was off. All right, we'll start now. You know, unfortunately, it was terrible.
We're not starting.
Oh,
now.
We're keeping all it in. And we're also going to keep. We're going to keep rolling as I have to plug in my laptop charger. But Ibu has that penchant for sometimes giving away a silly foul. Although we love his effort every match, but the placement was just perfect for Kenny Powers Davis. And unfortunately, the opposite, because he's the British version of Kenny Powers. Instead of saying "you're effing out," unfortunately, the ball was effing in. So you know.
I was waiting for a Kenny Powers joke.
All right, but you know, we had to live with it, and the boys didn't get their heads down. That was the most important thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I we went down 1-0, but I was not worried. And we told all of our new friends in the bar, like, "We're not worried. We're down 1-0, but this is Forest Green Rovers. This is the best team in League 2 history. We're coming back." And we did in the 60th minute. Tricky Nicky of House Cadden, the king of the cross, the friar of the free kick, the lord of... I forget the other nickname we had. Lord of something. Anyway, had a ridiculous shimmy, ridiculous run up the left. And then just a crazy move past a bemused Sutton defender to find Big Daddy Kane in the box, who hammered it home and drew us even. We love Kane, obviously, best wingback in England, maybe even Europe. But the goal was 100% on Nicky Cadden. Just a silly move to create space on the left. If you haven't seen it, you got to go watch Nicky Cadden's build-up to the goal. And if you have seen it, go watch it again. It's so good. It's a work of art, Shimmy. What do you think of that?
Couldn't have put it better myself. You said it was a work of art, man. And that's our dynamic duo, those wingbacks, Cadden and Kane, right? just when they come together, beautiful things happen.
And when they come together, beautiful things happen. Those two are another level. They do not belong in League Two, but we are so happy they stayed with us, even though I'm sure, 1,000,000% sure, they could have gone to other clubs. I made a joke to Kane. I we were texting, and I said something about like him not leaving us for a Champions League club, and he did not dispute that he got an offer from a chance to Champions League club. So he did not confirm or deny. He just moved on and changed the subject. So take that. Take. I don't know. Take that for whatever. For what it is. That Kane Wilson got offers from Barcelona, Real Madrid, Liverpool, Man City.
And
anyway,
the LA Galaxy.
And the LA Galaxy. No, New York City FC. I mean, you see how much this city loves him. Imagine if Kane Wilson came here and played for New York City.
Reigning MLS champions. Why not? MLS Cup champions.
Oh, this city would. He would own this city. All right, anyway, finally, the very end, Josh March. Oh, boy, Marchy. Oh, no, actually, before Josh March.
Josh March, you mean?
George March. Before that, actually, Sutton almost stole a late goal and won the game, but none other than Nicky Cadden, Tricky Nicky Cadden of House Cadden, had a heroic goal line clearance. The ball was going in. It was a guaranteed goal. It was guaranteed. We're done. We're over. It's over. 2-1 Sutton. And then, boom, Nicky Cadden is there to save the day. Once again, unbelievable. Big-time plays. Big-time players make big-time plays. He came up huge right there. And then finally, Josh March in the box gets tangled up by a Sutton defender. Clearly a penalty. Clearly a penalty. It was not given. Even our new Premier League friends at the bar, they were outraged and demanded VAR. But this is the magic of League Two, Shimmy. Shimmy, I just said that was clearly a penalty. But was that a penalty in your glazed-over eyes at the
bar?
Even
in my glazed-over eyes, it was a clear penalty. Just had the legs hooked. He couldn't get back to make a play towards the ball. His body was moving, you know, to flick back around towards the ball and couldn't do it. So stone cold penalty all day.
Stone cold. All right, let's get out. Let's move on here, Shimmy. Oh, I forgot to mention also, on Tuesday, the Forest Green Rovers took on Rochdale. We'll give our three stars. Actually, let's give our three stars. Then we'll talk about Rochdale real quick. And then we'll go on to Walsall. All right. So, and our guest from Walsall and Fashion Police. I forgot we have Fashion Police in this one. Anyway, so Shimmy, let's do our three stars. Give me your third star first. Who's your third star?
So third star for me is a little bit unsung in this game because I...
Ben Stevenson?
Oh, there you go, Ben Stevenson.
Let's go! Sorry, I didn't want to steal the thunder, but I had to guess. Go, keep going.
Yeah. Actually, both Ben Stevenson and JMT are up there for me. I think I say take your pick because even though we were celebrating the Wunder Goal from Kane Wilson, provided by Nicky Cadden. And that was, you know, we were rightfully jubilant about that. We have to remember, we were kind of on the back foot for most of that first half and for a lot of that game. Like, shout out to Sutton United, right? The underdog. Like, they were not afraid of facing the runaway leaders of League Two, bringing it to us. So the fact that we were able to keep it 1-0, I just want to shout out our defense and, Ben Stevenson and then... JMT for sure. So that would be my third star.
He's dynamite. Okay, that's a good shout. Shout out to Ben Stevenson. I was thinking that too. For me, third star is Ibu, though. Big tackles, big interceptions, big clearances, a huge block shot. High energy as always. The one mark against him, though, is the foul outside the box that led to their goal. So that was a big mistake. But outside of that, man, just awesome work. As always, from Ibu. Here we go. Second star. Who you got?
Second star for me has got to be Ibu, actually. So I put him up a little bit higher. Like you said, even though he gave away the free kick that put us down, you just can't... Since he's come back from AFCON, like the energy and just his presence on the pitch, anywhere the ball goes or the play is headed, seems like he's magically there, you know? So for that effort... never being gone. Again, got dinged a little bit. He might have been my first star, except for the fact that he gave away the free kick, but I'm never going to fault that effort.
Love it. Nobody can fault this man's effort. He's the best. We love Ibu. All right. For me, second star, the King of New York, the Wagamama Wonder, the smooth operator, Big Daddy Kane Wilson, on the defensive side, big tackles, big interceptions, clearances, on the offensive side, crazy runs, crazy dribbles, crazy passes, as always. And then, of course, the goal, Shimmy. He's my number two this week, even though he's New York's number one, as always. Shout out to Big Daddy Kane. All right, man of the match, Shimmy, who you got?
For me, it's got to be Cads, man. Like, hey, you know, big up to the Wagamama Wonder. We honored you. We made our pilgrimage to Wagamama in your name. yesterday. But like you said, right, in the recap, that goal doesn't happen without the incredible run, the fleetness of foot, the dexterity of one Nicky Cadsmagads Cadden.
Cadsmagads.
I believe that's a Scottish, a traditional Scottish middle name.
Cadsmagads. Love it.
But no, man, yeah. Shimmy. He was great. He was great. So he's my newest.
No disagreement. Yeah, no disagreement here, Shimmy. Big time players make big time plays. Got to go the other wing back, just like you, or the same wing back as you. Tricky Nicky of House Cadden. Some could argue Kane had the better role, maybe overall game, but no, Nicky Cadden, man, he was there when we need him the most. The biggest moments of this match, all Nicky Cadden. The setup, the run, the crazy little move past the defender, the pass to Big Daddy Kane for the goal. It was a work of art. And then it's 1-1 near the end of the game. We already said this. Sutton, take a shot on goal. It's going in. It's over. 2-1 to Sutton. We're done. Oh, no, Shimmy. Our Scottish knight in shining armor at the goal line. Making a save, Shimmy. A goal line clearance that salvages the draw. What can't this man do, Shimmy? Offense, defense, you name it. Goalkeeper. Without Nicky, we lose that game. So Nicky's got to be my man of the match too, Shimmy. So awesome, awesome, Shimmy. Let's quickly talk about Rochdale. So Rochdale. Jimmy Ball got his revenge on Forest Green. Wow. Coming out early, James Ball, 47-minute goal. Not early, second half, but 0-0 at halftime. And then James Ball, a.k.a. Jimmy Ball, scores for Rochdale, the ex-Forest Green Rovers interim manager, now playing for Rochdale. Scored 1-0. It's looking
tough.
He
came out of the stands to score the goal, too, which That's is what right. was incredible about.
Yeah. That's right. So shout out to Jimmy Ball. And then we came back, man. Blackjack Aitchison, 73rd-minute goal, draw it up 1-1. And then who else? The People's Champ, Matty Stevens, his 20th goal of the year, scores to win the game in the 86th minute. The birthday boy, by the way. Happy birthday to Matty Stevens.
Happy belated birthday.
It was his birthday on Saturday. So shout out to the birthday boy getting a big goal against Rochdale on Tuesday. So big, nice little 3 points there. Great comeback.
So
win.
You share a birthday week with good old Matty Stevens there, Nathan. Huh? It was your
birthday
this week, too. So we
should
take a second to also honor your service to this pod. but yeah, man, just hope you had a great birthday this week. Do you anything special?
It was awesome. It was. I watched Forest Green dominate.
Yes.
We'll actually get a draw, but no, I had an amazing birthday. It was awesome, actually. One of the best birthdays. I feel like it was better. One of the best birthdays I've had in a long time.
Glad to hear that.
I gotta say, it was a very
good birthday. Wish a happy birthday to any other of my podcast partners. You're the best.
I appreciate that too, Shimmy. Yeah, and it's great to share a birthday week. Our birthdays are 2 days apart, as we found out with Matty Stevens, but also a birthday with Ash Loveridge. So
yes.
I'm proud and humbled to share a birthday with two Forest Green Rovers legends in Ash Loveridge and Matty Stevens, the People's Champion. So yeah, shout out to them. What a week, Shimmy. What a week in Forest Green. Two comebacks, actually. So comeback win against Rochdale, comeback draw against Sutton. They're kind of like, I've been watching the Cleveland Cavaliers a lot lately. And this is what the Cavs, they're kind of like the Cavs, man. The Cavs keep going down by 20 points in like the first half and then miraculously come back and win. And that's kind of Forest Green Rovers got that Cavs vibe.
Cool.
I love it.
Well, let's just hope that the tag doesn't stick to Forest Green Rovers beyond what you just said in this example right now. The Cleveland Cavaliers is one of the historically worst teams
associated.
In the NBA.
Yeah, you don't want to be associated with any Cleveland sports team. But anyway, let's keep it moving, Shimmy, because we got to go. We got a guest coming on in like a minute, so we got to keep it rolling. And we got to go. It's Super Bowl day, Shimmy. We both got, you believe this, Super Bowl chores. Chores from my wife on Super Bowl Sunday of all days.
Super Bowl Sunday.
So we got to go. We got to keep this moving. Let's keep it moving, baby. So we got Walsall on Saturday. I'll be in Rome for the Walsall game. I can't wait. I'll see if I can find
a stream.
The Forest Green Rovers Roma Club. But anyway, so let's get on to our guest from Walsall, from
One Pod Beyond.
From One Pod Beyond, a Walsall podcast. So let's get into that. We're going to do a little Fashion Police. We're going to party up with this guy from One Pod Beyond, and then we'll close out. Let's go do it. Boom.
One Step Beyond.
We go behind enemy lines and talk to a man, Tom, from Walsall, from One Pod Beyond, a Walsall podcast, and from Walsall, I assume. Are you from Walsall?
I certainly am. Very, very rare to not come from Walsall and support Walsall. There are some of us.
Really?
But it's quite notable. We're quite quite light on the glory hunters, to be honest.
I love it. Well, I love that about a club. So maybe you're going to make us love this club, Walsall. But it is the home of Jameel Matt, Georgia Smith, and a hippopotamus statue for some reason. So anyway, Tom, welcome to the pod. First, what's the hippopotamus statue? What's that about?
The hippopotamus statue. There's a statue of a hippopotamus in the middle of Walsall, and nobody knows why it's there. It's very famous. It's kind of the place you would meet if you're going to the middle of Walsall. I haven't actually lived in Walsall now for about 15 years, so I hope it's still there. Maybe they've moved it, but it is a bit of an icon. And yeah, the most interesting thing about it is that no one really knows why there's a statue of a hippopotamus in the middle of Walsall. So there you go.
All right.
Well, that's amazing.
Yeah, Nathan is an avid Wikipedia editor, so I think we're just going to say Walsall is the home of Hungry Hungry Hippos. That's where the board
there
game was invented.
Yeah, it's also notable for being where the Queen's handbags are made.
Is that a fact? Is that
real?
Yeah,
so obviously it's a big... it's a big leather town, which is why Walsall are called the Saddlers.
Yeah. I was going to ask
the
you
Saddlers.
That. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so kind of a little rivalry here with the vegans and the leather people.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Interesting.
No worries. So when two players at your ground get into a fight on the pitch, do they call it the Queen's handbags?
They don't, but yeah, we should definitely introduce that. That's what it should be called.
I love it. All right, well, speaking of icons from Walsall, you mentioned the hippo. But also, Jameel Matt, the real deal Jameel Matt is from Walsall. How did you guys let him slip out of your town and join us? What a steal Jameel is for us.
We've got a history of kind of letting players from the local area go. Kemar Roof is another one.
Oh.
Is he still at Rangers or did he get a move somewhere else? Anyway, he's another from Walsall. So yeah, there are quite a few players who are actually from Walsall who don't end up playing for us. But yeah, Jameel Matt's been great for you this season. I tipped him up before the season started as top scorer, and he may not end up as being top scorer this season, but clearly he's been a massive player for you again this season.
Oh yeah, I think he's been. I mean, it's hard to say who's a player of the season because we've just been blessed with so much talent this season. But Jameel Matt is up there, not just for his goal scoring, but his creation too. I'm pretty sure he still leads he leads all of the leagues. Mitro's more. Never mind. Anyway, but in goals and assists, so in contributing to scoring, he is on top of League Two. And hey, he might still end up being the leading goal scorer. Matty's got 20. He's got, 17 maybe, 18, I don't remember. But anyway, man, we are so blessed to have Jama, not just as a player, but he's also just an outstanding like human being. We've had the fortune to meet him a couple times. Anyone we talk to from the club, or even people from outside of the club, they all talk about like these great experiences they have with Jama. So we are blessed to have him. And we love Walsall because that's where he came from. So it must be something in the water, something how you're raised. Maybe
it's the hippo.
Maybe it's the hippo. Yeah. But everyone we've met from Walsall, good people. So, and also good people because you did us a huge favor yesterday by beating Tranmere. Yes. So big thank you for beating Tranmere.
Yes, that's how you judge the character of a town as well, whether they can beat Tranmere for sure.
Yeah, so really appreciate that. We can't stand Tranmere, and especially when they're right on our heels. Well, they're not really on our heels, but they're second. Now 11 points behind us. So thank you for that. I want to ask you about that game in a little bit, but let's leave the football for a little bit later. Let's first begin with some fashion police.
Nails, hair, hips, heels, face done, lips real, purse full, big bills. Yes, I'm a big deal.
So, Tom, fashion police here. It's a little segment. Sean, why didn't you show us your crotch?
All right, unfashionable police, sorry.
Oh, is that not what you always do at this point in the show?
Yeah, Yeah, get a load of this.
What we do actually is dress up for fashion police. Give us 1 second to put on our gear, which, by the way, nobody sees this. We haven't put out a video, so nobody knows that we actually dress up for the segment.
We're just committed.
That's how committed we are to the cause of fashion police. But while we're putting on our gear, so fashion
police. And probably because I show my crotch during every Zoom meeting, we can't publish any videos without getting in trouble.
Yes, we already got actually kicked off Twitter yesterday because of we posted a 2 second clip of, we were at a bar watching the Forest Green game, and we posted like a 2 second clip showing the Premier League games on TV next to our game, which we thought was like hilarious. Like, oh, they were, you know, Leeds and Everton, Sutton and Forest Green. And Twitter took it down in like 5 minutes because it had, you know, a 2 second clip of premium. Anyway, whatever. So we already got banned once from Twitter. We don't want to do it again by showing Shams' crotch. So let's keep it rolling here. So Fashion Police, a little segment where we evaluate, we rate your kits. We call out crimes of fashion as two fashion icons, Sham and I, and two officers of the fashion law. So how we'll do this is we'll do the home kit. We'll do the awake kit. I didn't want to do the third kit, but actually the third kit has a cool little story behind it. So I guess we'll do the third kit too. So here we go. Home kit. Here we go. Fashion Police. Walsall. Oh, by the way, Shimmy. How does Tony? How do you say Walsall in the bayou, Shimmy?
Oh, down in the bayou in the south of the U.S., they say Walsall.
Walsall. We love that. Walsall is one of our favorite names because of the way Sham says it. When we do another
segment. It's a very fun name to say.
It's a long story. We do another segment where we have these two sports anchors. One of them's from New Orleans, Louisiana, and he has a very strong accent. And when he says Walsall, it just makes me laugh every time. Anyway, moving on. Back to Fashion Police. So we have a red, predominantly red, with green and white little trim across the chest. White shorts, green and red socks. This is a Christmas kit. And after the Super Bowl, Christmas is the best day of the year, in my opinion. Who doesn't love Christmas? So this kit gets huge props for that. And then this kit is made of a revolutionary T-Energy fabric, which has antiviral and antimicrobial properties, according to the internet, along with some, I can't even pronounce it, Minisum J1 Plus treatment, whatever, super impermeable to liquids and droplets. The manufacturer says, we believe T-Energy shirts offer a winning combination of maximum performance and safety. So as a germaphobe, I love this kit. Also, as someone who doesn't like COVID, I want this on the record. I don't care who we make mad. I don't care if this is unpopular. We are officially an anti-COVID podcast. So we have to support anti-COVID kits. So shout out to that. And finally, you just beat Tranmere in these kits. Phenomenal. 10 out of 10 for me. 10 out of 10, this kit. What do you got, Sham? And then we'll go to you, Tom.
Wow. Well, first, I'm trembling a little bit because you've officially angered COVID. So now we got to watch out. You know, but man, like Walsall's home kit from last year, I thought was stupendous, right? With the green, with the red. It was just the solid colors I love. This one, although I think it's trying to be a little bit bold, just doesn't do it for me. Maybe the designers this year were going for the Papa John's trophy. So they're like, let's have every kit look like a delivery man for Papa John's. But I am not. I'm not feeling this one compared to last year's classic home kit, which I thought is one of the best kits in League Two.
This is a Papa John's kit. You're right. Huge missed opportunity not getting Papa John's as your sponsor here. Good point, Sean. Keep going. Sorry.
But no, like you said, you know, points to them for promoting an antimicrobial lifestyle. We definitely need that these days. And the fact that they beat Tranmere in these kits. You can't undervalue that. So although, and you know, and hey, in a former life, I was a huge pizza fan. So so who am I to say that Papa John's looks bad? Although Papa John himself is kind of a jerk, but we won't get into that. So I'm going to give this a little bit less. I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10.
9 out of 10. All right, Tom, what do you rate this home kit?
I really like our home kit. I think it's probably the best home kit we've had for about a decade. The history of the green is quite interesting because we introduced green in the sort of early 80s. We started wearing green socks. So are you familiar with Sabutio? You know what Sabutio is? The little plastic football game?
Oh, right.
That's big over here, or certainly was when I was a kid. And is making a bit of a comeback at the moment. And interestingly, they would do kits for teams, so they would cover off all the teams that played in certain colours. And Walsall were the only team who played in the same colours as Hungary. So those green socks became our sort of differentiator. They were the different sort of thing. And greens, for years, fans were trying to get, like, had a campaign to get the green socks back, bring the green socks back. And eventually they did a couple of seasons ago. And now green started creeping into the kits as well. And I love that sort of green and white band at the top. I'm a big fan. So I'll probably go with 9.5, to be honest.
Let's go. Wow. And by the way, shout out to you, Tom, because usually our guests give integer scores, like whole numbers. I always give a decimal unless it's a 10 out of 10. So I appreciate you dropping the 9.5 on them. That's a professional score.
Yeah, Tom and Nathan, both avid Pitchfork music readers. For sure.
And the green. Yeah, so that's one thing I was going to say. I love that about these kits is, I can't think of another red and green team in the league. Is there one?
I don't think so. I think it's just us and Hungary. So
I love that.
And only one, and in one place is not authoritarian, so you got to give it up to Walsall.
so many of these English kits, they're just red and white or blue and white. I love kits when they're, you know, they break the mold of the classic English kit. The away kit, really quick. I want to fly through this one because I want to get to the third kit. The away kit, it's green and red. It's got little bubbles on it. The little bubbles kind of look like little EFL, like logo bubbles. I'm not wild about it, but again, Walsall just beat Tranmere. This kit is antimicrobial, antiviral.
Anti-Tranmere.
Yeah. Anti-Tranmere, 7.1 out of 10. If it weren't all those things, it'd probably be like a 2.5 out of 10, but it gets points for the context. I'm not wild about it, but I love what it means, what it stands for. I don't really get the bubbles, but whatever. To each their own. Go ahead, Shimmy.
Interesting that stood out to you, Nathan. As much as I love the solid color of last year's Walsall home kit, the solid color with this little bubble design at the bottom is just not doing it for me. I we just heard from Tom, the fans love green, so they're leaning heavy into the green. But this kind of looks to me like they just took some leftover wrapping paper from the holidays, like from Christmas, and put some kits together. It's got that sort of pattern to me. So not feeling it too much, but I have long been a fan of punching the little holes on bubble wrap. You know, you get that little bit of excitement when you do it. So if that gets people going, if it gets you excited for the match, bring on the bubble wrap. So I'm actually going to rate it higher now that you said that. So I'm going to give it a 7.8 out of 10.
Oh, on the bubble wrap kit, really quick. Tom, is bubble wrap, do you know what that is?
The strange thing about this kit is that it's the same as the goalkeeper kit. So effectively, we put out a second kit that was the same as one of our goalkeeper kits, which is a bit weird, and nobody could quite work out why we'd done that. But it's okay. I usually love a green kit. I've kind of collected quite a few over the years, the sort of classic Saint-Étienne kits, Groningen, teams like that.
Forest Green Rovers.
Yeah, Forest Green Rovers. I kind of agree that it's not one of our better efforts, and I'd probably give it a 7.2.
Okay, all right.
Nice. Tough but fair.
The reason I ask about the bubble wrap is I figured in the UK you guys have like a completely different name for it. Do you call it bubble wrap or does it have
I can confirm that it's called bubble wrap.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's not called like smudgy budgies or anything.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, like smudgy budgies or something like that. Yeah. I will say credit before we go to the last kit, the third kit. I love when a team away kit is the same color scheme as the team's color. So big props for that. I don't like an away kit to be like just a completely random color for fun. Like I want the away kit to match the color scheme. So props for that. All right, here we go. Third kit. This kit is really cool. It is all white with a couple like a little green and red band on the shoulders. But the best thing about this kit is it's covered in these little gray text all over the place. That is the names. It has the names of all the supporters who like donated their ticket money, their season ticket money to the club last year to help the club survive. That's awesome. Huge shout out to that. I got to go another 10 out of 10, guys. What do you got, Sean?
Wow. Yeah, I'm going to actually just echo you going 10 out of 10 on this one. This is where I think the green and the accents on the sleeve work perfectly. Love the shout out to the fans. You know, fans are the lifeblood of these clubs, especially at this level. So you should never forget, you know, how much support and how much of their lives they commit to seeing these clubs do well and try to succeed. So, yeah, I love this kit, man. I think this is my favorite kit out of all three. So I'm giving this a 10 out of 10.
I'd have to agree with that. I think, you know, most Walsall fans love this kit for obvious reasons. It looks great and, you know, it's got all the names of my friends on. So you can't beat that. And all of our podcast listeners, of course, as well. So I can look down it and pick everyone out. It's it was a really nice idea that seems to have been a few clubs are sort of copying it now. I noticed that Bradford released a shirt last week that did the same sort of thing. So it seems like a popular thing to do, but I'm glad we were at the forefront of recognizing all those fans who left their money in the club, because it was a big commitment and a big help to the club at a difficult time.
And such a cool idea too, just to have it there. So whenever they're on the pitch, whenever they're out there, you never forget that the fans are there too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, it's an awesome kid. I love it. All right, there we go. That was Fashion Police. We rated these pretty well, guys. This is probably the highest overall rating of all three kits that we've had so far. So nice job, Walsall. But we still got to say it. Shimmy, you ready?
Yep.
Three, Walsall. 2, 1, Walsall.
Oh, you're under arrest.
All right, there we go. Okay. Fashion police over. But pretty good. Pretty nice kits, I got to say.
Maybe just house arrest.
Especially the context.
You can move
about
freely in your house. They're really good.
All right.
Girl, I don't dance, I work. I don't play, I slay. I don't walk, I strut, 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 and then sashay. But I don't work for free. That's not the tea, hunty. So make it rain on me.
So, but one more question, I guess, before we get to the football. Just like, what is the culture of Walsall, the club? Like, what is the culture around this club?
The culture is interesting. If you think that we've got four really pretty big clubs around us, and then a couple more even a bit further out than that. So you've got Aston Villa, you've got West Bromwich Albion, you've got Wolves, you've got Birmingham City, who are traditionally, you know, around the Premier League and the Championship. And Walsall have always been the sort of, the sort of fifth wheel, really, in that sort of Birmingham and Black Country. It's a very small urban area. I don't know if you've ever been to the West Midlands, but within about sort of 10, 15 miles, all of these clubs surround us. So Walsall, even though it's got a huge population, not a huge amount of people in the town support the local football club because they've got so many others. Never mind all your Man Uniteds and Liverpools and all the rest of it. Sure. You've also got a lot of big clubs nearby, and people's parents will support them and bring them up supporting the other team. So it's a constant battle to, fight against those other clubs and make us sort of stand out. And we haven't been particularly good at that recently. We always talk on the podcast about how we can get more people through the door. And I think you've got to differentiate from that sort of top flight or second tier football and just offer something a bit different, you know, like Forest Green do, like Accrington Stanley do, you know, like Wickham do. You have to differentiate yourself, make people want to come for something other than, you know, knowing that they're going to get a win every week or, you know, support a team that's on the TV or in the Premier League. So that's pretty much the culture in terms of what's around us. It's, you know, always being the slightly poorer relative, but feeling, I mean, you know, let's be honest, if you're a Walsall fan, you're special because there's not that many of us. So, you know, it's that's the way you have to look at it, basically.
Yeah, love that attitude.
Shyam and I are relatively new. Actually, not even relatively. This is our second year following League Two, so we're very new. Okay. We're your classic American plastic fans.
Yeah, not new to the fashion game, but new to the League Two.
That's obvious, Shyam. That's obvious. Yeah, right. But what we found, though, following League Two was just, I don't know, there's this magic of the lower leagues that you don't find. You know, Shyam and I have watched, you know, Premier League soccer and First Division soccer in other countries for a long time. And just the community, the competition, like, you don't find that at these higher levels. And that's really what's you know, helped us fall in love with not only Forest Green Rovers, but with lower league football. It's just, it's so fun. It's so beautiful to watch the communities, the people we meet like you. It's like, that's what makes it all worth it. And so I feel like fans who only support like a massive club are really missing out on something magical, something special. That those of us who support a lower league team like are lucky to experience. And so, you know, that's very interesting what you say, and I love that. And you did mention, you know, we got to convince people to come, not just for the wins. And you say that also because you guys haven't had many wins this year, I assume.
That's very true. Yeah,
you lost, what, 7 in a row before yesterday?
7 in a row, yeah. Yeah,
that is tough. You did bounce back yesterday. New manager bounce. Maybe we'll ask about that in a second. But overall, like, what's gone wrong for Walsall this season?
Oof. Where do we start? I guess it was a new sort of setup this season. We appointed a new manager, Matt Taylor, who, you know, some Premier League fans will know. He had a really good career at sort of West Ham, Bolton, Portsmouth. And was at the academy at Spurs and was highly rated. And we kind of, you know, any team has a decision when they bring in a new manager. Do they go for someone experienced who's been around the block, or do they go for someone who has, you know, got something to prove and is highly rated but doesn't have the experience yet? We went for the second one of those, and unfortunately, it just didn't work out. I don't think he was helped by our recruitment. We've got a new director of football as well, part of a sort of drive by the chairman to improve the whole sort of structure at the club. So the manager works with the director of football to identify the players that he wants. And unfortunately, the marquee players that he brought in, the sort of proven League Two players like Joss Labadie, Manny Month, and Ash Taylor didn't work out. You know, we were therefore relying on our sort of loan players and homegrown players, which didn't particularly work out either. And in fact, some of our homegrown players missed out to some of the new signings, and, you know, fans haven't been happy about that, because we always want to see our own players come through the academy and do well. And yeah, some of Taylor's own shortcomings as well, you know, became apparent. He was completely wedded to a 4-2-3-1 system, which just wasn't working. We weren't creating chances. We have the sort of lowest XG from open play in the whole league. You know, we just not create enough chances. We only had one striker at the club who we signed within about, you know, sort of 10 minutes left of the window on deadline day, who was George Miller, who started off really well, scored 7 goals, but then, you know, has only scored 1 in about his last 20 games. So we've really struggled up front, and we've really struggled to defend set pieces. So a combination really of Taylor's inexperience, his sort of reluctance to change the formation and change personnel. He stuck with players like Joss Labadie, who've sort of really underperformed this season. Hasn't been helped by the recruitment at the club, because we've just not had the players to step up, even if he had been able to do, you know, better with his systems, and being able to motivate and coach them. But it's been a bit of a perfect storm, really, of underachievement, which unfortunately kind of mirrors our own progress as a club over the last 15 years. You know, it's apart from the Dean Smith season, where we were 1 point away from promotion to the Championship, it's been a, you know, a series of declining performances, really.
Well, you're on the rise. You won. You beat the evil empire yesterday. That is Tranmere. 1-0 on a late 85th minute goal. Must have been crazy exciting to get that late goal and to beat the worst team in England. Maybe the worst team in Europe.
That streak, right?
Don't like Tranmere, do you?
It's the only team that we don't like. We love everybody except for Tranmere. Anyway, so things are looking up, maybe. I don't know. How do you feel after the win yesterday, the new manager? Is it the new manager bounce? How are we feeling now after the change has been made?
Yeah, I think, what Saturday's performance against Tranmere showed was sort of highlighted Matt Taylor's deficiencies almost. Neil McDonald, the caretaker manager, went back to a sort of 4-4-2, tried and trusted sort of simple formation, which we haven't played all season, and brought back Sam Perry, who's a young kid who did really, really well last season, and we just have not seen this season at all. He just disappeared off the face of the earth. He came back playing with fan favourite Liam Kinsella in the middle of the park, and we were so much better. And, you know, a lot of the Tranmere fans after the game were saying, yeah, fair play, the best team won. It wasn't a smash and grab. We didn't, completely ride our luck as we have done at times this season. We actually looked pretty solid. You know, a clean sheet against Tranmere is really good. I mean, you know, Tranmere do not lose many games, as you know, this season. So probably yourselves and us are one of the few teams who've beaten them recently. So a really, really good performance. And yeah, it's heartening, but we're under no illusions. You know, we're still only 6 or 7 points off the bottom two, and we need to pick up more wins before the end of the season. But yeah, yesterday was definitely encouraging.
That's great to hear. How confident are you at avoiding relegation?
I think yesterday was massive. I mean, I was at Scunthorpe on Tuesday night where we contrived to lose to one of the worst teams I've ever seen in League Two, who had 10 men for most of the second half. It was a real low point. And I think that was the point at which Taylor's tenure became untenable, really. You know, it was a very, you know, seven losing seven games in a row is not great. And I think the board saw the table after that and the performance on the pitch, which was dire, and just thought, we have to do something. You know, it became a question of, we need a new manager bounce. And, you know, we managed to get it on Saturday, so they've kind of been vindicated. But now, you know, the hard work starts in terms of identifying the next manager, and that manager getting off to a good start by keeping us up. And we'd like to see, you know, him keep us up comfortably.
Love it. Yeah, well, we hope you stay up, because, you know, I love the story, you know, of Walsall, this kind of like you say, like the smallest club of the region. And
a region dominated by giant clubs, too.
Exactly.
Right? And, yeah, well-known clubs.
Exactly. You root for clubs like that to be successful. So we're rooting for you. We're rooting against relegation. So, Tom, let's move to Saturday. Actually, before we move to Saturday, can you tell us what about your pod name, One Pod Beyond? What's that about?
One Pod Beyond, I don't know if I've ever said this before, but I'm not a huge fan of the name, even though I came up with it. we needed a name and before our first show. It comes from the Madness song, One Step Beyond. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Yeah, it's like ska and dancehall, right?
From exactly. Yeah, from the early 80s. And it's something that Walsall fans have sung for years and years and years. And it will start by someone shouting out the spoken word bit from the start. You know, hey, you don't watch that, watch this. this is the heavy, heavy monster sound, the nuttiest sound around. It became a real thing on the terraces. We also sing the Cab Calloway song, Minnie the Moocher, which is another story. We have some slightly eccentric chants, but that's a good thing, I think.
Yeah, we love that about League Two football. That's why we're so invested in this and like enjoy tuning in and talking to folks like you, Tom. We get to learn all of these like cool histories that are slightly eccentric, slightly weird, but man, that's just like... We love
and there's a lot of American jazz singers. I forget. There's another club we had on too, where they have a big song that they sing in the terraces. Is another like American from American jazz singer. I can't remember who it was, but interesting. Very cool. Very cool. So like moving on to Saturday, Walsall, Forest Green Rovers. What do we need to do, Forest Green Rovers, to take 3 points from this game?
I mean, it's an interesting question, because really, given how well you're playing and how much better you are than anyone else in the league, in my opinion, and, you know, most League Two fans' opinions, I think, you shouldn't really have to do a huge amount. You should just have to do what you do normally. The slight curveball is that, you know, this is a team that's had a bit of a confidence boost on Saturday, you know, beating the second team in the league. Why shouldn't we be able to beat the first team in the league? You know, it's away from home. We have a relatively good record at Forest Green over the years. But obviously, you know, you do have a very strong team this year. I think you probably just need to get at us from the first whistle, you know, and really take the game to us. Don't let us settle. I think probably if you can shut down our forwards. George Miller has become, you know, quite easy to play against recently. Wilkinson took his penalty really well on Saturday, but again, he's kind of flattered to deceive this season. And we've struggled this season to come back when we've gone a goal down. So if you get an early goal, I think that should be enough just to, you know, calm your nerves a little bit and be able to go on and win the game. I'm not saying you will win the game. I think, you know, after Saturday, clearly, you know, we've had a bit of a boost, and we've got nothing to lose. Everyone expects us to lose at Forest Green. So let's see what happens.
And you pinpointed a bit of our weakness, or what we see as fans is we sometimes take a little while to grow into a game.
Right.
Maybe the first 15 to 20 minutes, we're kind of not fully settled and allow teams to do their thing. We saw that a little bit this past Saturday with Sutton United. But man, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. That's, again, with League Two, you should never underestimate any team or the competition, no matter what the streaks have been, right? That's what we love about it.
I mean,
any team can beat any team.
Exactly. I mean, we've played a couple of the top five. We've got a horrendous fixture list in February, which is why after that Scunthorpe game, people were so worried because you know we didn't see where the next point was coming from. Never mind three. But yeah, against Tranmere, like I say, their fans were saying, "Fair play, you were the better team. You did a number on us. No complaints." So. The same against Northampton. I mean, we lost to Northampton. It was part of that dreadful run of seven games, but there was nothing in that game. They scored a scrappy goal where we defended abysmally. But there was nothing else. It wasn't like we were getting battered. So that's, I think, a lot of the frustration from Walsall fans comes from the fact that this is not Forest Green, I would say, aside. And that's not just because I'm talking to you guys, but we've kind of said it on the pod all season. There's one team that, you know, probably head and shoulders above everyone else. There is not a huge amount between the other teams in this division.
Right. And
if you do the basics well, if you can defend set pieces, score from set pieces, keep it tight and nick games, you know, 1-0, you know, you can quickly rise up the league. And I think that is what the frustration is, because it's not, you know, it's not a tough league in our opinion. You know, certainly not for a team that has a, you know, a top 10 budget like we're always told that Walsall do.
Well,
interesting.
Let's close out here on this.
Yeah. And I might say, Tom, like, you know, we credit ourselves a lot with Forest Green's success this season. The fact that they're head and shoulders above everyone. Yes, so you may want to maybe consider adding a fashion criticism segment to One Pod Beyond.
Yeah, we mainly concentrate on food. We're not so hot on fashion.
Yeah, fair enough. You probably made the right choice.
Yeah. All right, let's close out here on this. Give us a score prediction, Tom. What's going to happen on Saturday?
I'm going to go for an unexpected 1-1 draw.
Oh, hey, okay.
I like
okay,
it.
Okay, spicy. Back-to-back 1-1 draws for Forest Green if that comes true. Look, we never predict losses or draws. As Americans, we don't even understand a draw. Only wins, baby.
That does not make sense.
But if we're going to draw to anybody... It would be a nice thank you back to you guys for beating Tranmere yesterday. So I won't be devastated by a draw, even though I hope we win. But I, you know, yeah. If we're gonna draw against anyone,
we can have a pod gentleman's agreement that a 1-1 draw is acceptable.
That's right. That's right. Tom from One Pod Beyond, thank you so much for hanging out with us, man. Thank you for teaching us about Walsall. You made us all a little bit more fans of Walsall after this. So really appreciate you,
man. We got to see the hippo now. We got to somehow get to the hippo in Walsall.
We're coming to England in April. Sean, we got to put the hippo on our list. Unfortunately, we don't play Walsall anymore after this, but we'll find a way to get there to see the hippo.
Good stuff.
Tom, appreciate it, man.
Cheers. Thanks, Tom.
Cheers.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Best of luck this season.
Shimmy! All right, let's get out of here, Shimmy. Another great week in Forest Green Rovers, 19 unbeaten. Let's keep it rolling against Walsall. Time to go down in the bye, Walsall. Let's keep it rolling. Keep the good momentum going.
Absolutely.
A reminder, no pod next week. I'll be in Rome. So we'll do it again in two weeks, hopefully with a player. And
unless you decide the cafe in Piazza Life is for you and we never see you again. You
know? Maybe it is. Maybe I'll start a new life there. Get a little buy a Vespa.
An electric Vespa, an e-Vespa, right? An e-scooter.
That's right, an e-Vespa. Doesn't sound too bad. Just hitting up cafes, drinking espressos all day.
Yeah, just gesticulating wildly with your hands. That's what more do you need in life?
Let's go. Perfect. All right, Jimmy, let's get out of here. Up the Vegan Rovers.
Up the Vegan Rovers. We are FGR. Here we got a Super Bowl Sunday, nonetheless.
On a Super Bowl Sunday. Do our chores.
We gotta raise hell.
Praise hell. Hell yeah, baby. All right, let's get out of here. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us.
Take care, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
We will see you next time. Bye.